Our first scripture reading of the morning is from the book of Acts, Acts chapter 8. Actually, both scriptures will be from the same chapter. But first, I'll be reading from Acts chapter 8, verses 4 through 8. Short passage. I invite you to follow along. It says, "Now those who were scattered went from place to place, proclaiming the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah to them. The crowds with one accord listened eagerly to what was said by Philip, hearing and seeing the signs that he did for unclean spirits, crying with loud shrieks, came out of many who were possessed, and many others who were paralyzed or lame were cured. So there was great joy in that city." And friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I'd like to begin with a question this morning, and the question is this: do you believe that the Lord creates situations for divine meetings? In other words, do you believe that God sets up unexpected encounters between people? Can you think about a time in your life, maybe it was just weird, the occasion to simply be called a coincidence? And by the way, the best definition that I've ever heard of a coincidence is a small miracle in which God chooses to remain anonymous. Now, in our story today, we're looking at two men from different cultures and who were from different backgrounds. They led different lives, they were traveling in different directions, but God had a different idea. He set up a divine meeting. And so please join me as I once again read from Acts chapter 8, and it's a little longer. I'll be reading verses 26 through 40. Once again, I invite you to follow along. It says, "Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Get up and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.'" This is a wilderness road. So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed them the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. And friends, this too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, let's look at these two men. One is a black man from Africa, a rather impressive figure, a high official in the Ethiopian government who is secretary of the treasury to Queen Candace. He's returning from Jerusalem, where he has gone to worship. And everything that happens to this Ethiopian man happens while he is in the midst of a journey. It's not like he's out in the desert looking for God. And it's interesting to me that whenever we go into the desert looking for God, nothing significant ever seems to happen, because God seems to come to us during the normal activities of life, like when we're driving to a doctor's appointment, or grabbing coffee over at Starbucks, or when we're talking to the other moms about our kids. It's in the midst of the grind of daily life that God shows up. Now, the other man in our story is named Philip. He's one of the 12 original disciples, and he was like the Billy Graham of the first century. Now, he has a few cameo appearances in the gospel stories, and in those cases, he's bringing people to Jesus Christ. For example, Jesus calls Philip to come and follow him. And what does Philip do? Does he say, time out, Lord? No, instead, he runs to his friend Nathanael and says, I've met the Messiah. Come and meet him. And Nathanael comes and becomes a Christian. Well, later on, the Gentiles are, for the very first time, seeking an audience with Jesus Christ. Who do they talk with to bring them to Jesus? Philip. And now, as the early church gets underway, Philip's career takes off as he speaks like Billy Graham at a crusade to throngs of people. You heard me read earlier in verse 6, the crowds with one accord listened eagerly to what was said by Philip. Huge crowds of people are being touched and renewed, and their lives are being changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Philip was a man who had a white hot passion for bringing people to the Lord. Friends, I'm here to tell you that that's why God sets up divine meetings. God wants to shrink the distance between us and him, and for us to bring others into intimacy with him. Growing up, we had this big Chevy Suburban, and we needed a big vehicle to tow our 25-foot Airstream trailer that we used for summer vacations. And the one thing that I remember about that Suburban, besides the fact that it got terrible gas mileage, was that the front seat was a bench seat. Now, a bench seat does not look very sporty, but one thing about a bench seat is that when you went out on a date, you knew how you were doing. you drive to pick up your date, and then you walk your date to the car, and all the time you're wondering, does she like me? And if so, how much does she like me? And of course, you open the door for her, and you just pray by the time you walk around to your side of the car and get in, she has slid her way over to you. But if you get in that car and she's on the opposite side clutching the passenger side, you know you are in for a long night. Well, friends, the Bible uses the language of courtship to talk about our relationship with God. Jesus knocks at our heart's door and invites us to follow him. And Philip's desire was to bring people closer to Jesus Christ. As you saw earlier with the slideshow, our youth group here showed themselves to be a Philip in bringing people closer to Jesus Christ while on their mission trip last month in Maine. One of them, Carter King, is going to come forward and tell you a little bit about his experience.
Honestly, it was really cool when I was up there, because it was much different than last year's mission trip, because we did more like talking to people instead of like hands-on work. And we kind of got to talk to more people, and we kind of got to learn their experiences other than last year when we kind of helped out more people, which was really nice. But we also did that down there, like the bikes. We got to help him get all those bikes out of his way so then he can keep his yard looking really nice, because that was his one wish for his wife before she passed, was to get his lawn looking really nice for her. And then it was really cool because our one cook, he wasn't gonna help at all with us, But then the last group who was there, he saw how like they were eating, and they were like, he was said, I don't want them eating that. So then he's decided to help us. And it was really cool to like just hear how he kind of came and helped us with that.
So, how about us? How about the rest of us here at Chestnut Level Presbyterian Church? Do we see ourselves as a congregation of Phillips who have that same kind of passion for bringing people to Christ? A good way to measure this is to ask the question, how do we see the people around us? What would it take for you to invite here a neighbor who's working in their yard as you pull out of your driveway to come here on Sunday mornings? Or the college student in the apartment above who has those humongous speakers and a subwoofer and who plays that loud, crappy rap music until 2 a.m. in the morning. You might pray, Lord, use me to close the gap between you and that person. Maybe it's not seeing your boss as simply a means of professional advancement, but one who might be drawn to Christ if God's light shines through me. It's about doing something that is very difficult for many of us. Striking up a conversation with a stranger, like Philip did with the Ethiopian eunuch. It's seeing ourselves as strategic players in God's cosmic vision of bringing people to Him. If you think about it, every ministry of the church should really be a Philip kind of ministry. But let's be honest, if we're not interested in bringing people to Jesus Christ, then there's really no point in doing any of the stuff that we do around here. And the one thing that I've learned over the years in the churches that I've served is that you can never have too many Phillips out there, young or old, talking up our church, sharing the love of God, and telling people about the difference that Jesus Christ has made in your life. Another of our young people, Ella Smith, is going to come forward and tell you about her experience on the mission trip in Maine.
As part of our missions trip, early on the week, our youth group went on a prayer walk around the neighborhood as a way to connect with the people and get the word out about the VBS that we were doing. A house caught Avery Jansen and mine eyes due to the Christmas lights it had around it, and we felt led to go up and knock on the door and see if they needed any prayer. We met an older couple named Eric and Dana, and it turns out that they had a lot of anxiety about their financial situation. And we prayed over them and also just had a good conversation with them. It was a great way to meet the people and help connect the Lord, and it set a good tone for what this missions trip was going to be like.
Well, in Acts 8:26, the Spirit of God says to Philip, I want you to go south, head down the road from Jerusalem to Gaza. Now, maybe we would have said, but Lord, my GPS says go north. Does it make any sense for me to go south? But the Spirit said, go south, Philip. I'm waiting for you there. And what that tells me is that God does set up divine meetings, but we have to keep those meetings. The great news about Philip is that he kept that meeting. Philip said, yes, Lord. And he walked down the road and he met an Ethiopian eunuch. And God told Philip, see that chariot? Go after it. Imagine trying to catch a chariot while on foot. And it says, Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. In ancient times, all reading was done out loud. And so all out of breath from chasing down that chariot, Philip hears the man reading from Isaiah and says, do you understand what you're reading? And the Ethiopian says, I haven't got a clue, would you help me? And he helps Philip up into the chariot. Unbeknownst to that man, he had made a divine meeting. Friends, my prayer is that you will leave here believing in divine meetings because once you believe, you can pray them into your life and into the lives of the people you love, your spouse, your children, your age of parents, your friends, and nothing will ever be the same again. Philip asked the question, do you understand what you're reading? And it's no wonder that the man is confused, because the Ethiopian was reading one of the most perplexing passages in the Bible. He was reading Isaiah chapter 53, which is known as the suffering servant passage. And so it really shouldn't surprise us that this man would be reading a passage about another man who was despised, rejected, and humiliated. You see, this Ethiopian that we've been talking about was also a eunuch. Now, back then, to make your enemy into a eunuch, this sexless creature who we would be despised, rejected, and humiliated, and without any descendants, would be the ultimate act of degradation. And to add insult to injury, according to Deuteronomy chapter 23, a eunuch was not allowed to set foot inside an assembly of the Lord. Can you imagine coming to church and being told, I'm sorry, you can't come in here. The only thing you can do is stand outside. And then as the people are leaving, all you can say, hey, what does the preacher say? They wouldn't allow me in. Would you still come to that church? This man came all the way from Ethiopia, and he had to stand outside the doors of the temple and press his nose up against the window. And now he's on his way back home, and he's flipping through the Bible. And he comes across these strange words about another man who was despised, rejected, and humiliated. And he says, hey, that sounds like me. Maybe there's a place for me too. And right then, Philip shows up, climbs up into the chariot, and says, oh yeah, that was Jesus of Nazareth. He was despised, rejected, and humiliated. But he started a family for everyone in the whole world. There's room for you in this family. Would you like to be part of it? Well, after the Ethiopian's baptism, there's one more divine meeting. But this one takes place all the way back in Ethiopia. Because the man goes back there and he starts a family. Not a biological family, of course. But he starts the family of Jesus Christ, the Church of Ethiopia. Christian Church of Ethiopia grew and grew and grew, and in the 4th century, Christianity became the official religion of that nation. And Ethiopia became the longest standing, continuously Christian nation in the history of the world until 1974, with the fall of Emperor Haile Selassie. Today, African Christianity is the fastest growing branch of the Christian Church. Think about it, all started because of a conversation between two people in the middle of the desert. If you believe in divine meetings, there are no ordinary conversations. There are no ordinary people. And there are no ordinary days. You may be talking to a depressed coworker, or an unpopular classmate, or a stranger from another race. And so, trust in God with all your heart. Believe that the Lord has you in mind in his planning. Keep your eyes open for the possibility of a divine meeting. After all, you would not want to miss one. Would you join me in prayer? Let us pray. Lord God, thank you for loving us enough to arrange circumstances that put us in the right place at the right time with the right people. We thank you for those Philips you have sent into our lives to bring us closer to you. We pray today for divine meetings in the lives of the people we love, our children, especially as they go back to school. An aged parent who may be far away, our spouse, and other dear friends. May they meet their Philip, who will be the fork in the road who leads them to you. We know, Lord, there is no limit to what you can do through people who go where you want them to go, do what you want them to do, and say what you want them to say. Help us to discover what role we are to play as we continue to be a Philip-like congregation. Allow us to set aside our day planners this week, and please surprise us with the divine meeting. In Jesus' name, amen.